In the heart of a Korean-American household, a simple family dinner becomes the first thread in a tapestry of obsession. Uma, mother, serves fish to her daughters, Ji-won and Ji-hyun, offering them the eyes, the best part, she insists. When they refuse, she consumes the delicacy herself with visible pleasure. This ordinary moment gains weight when Uma accidentally mentions their father, who abandoned them just 2 weeks earlier. His absence creates a void that Uma tries desperately to fill, her grief manifesting in peculiar ways. She prepares elaborate feasts with his favorite dishes, setting the table for four, despite knowing he won't return. Fish eyes bring good luck, she declares through tears one night, devouring them when her daughters recoil. What begins as a cultural quirk gradually transforms into something more sinister, a metaphor for consumption that will haunt every relationship in Ji-won's life. Have you ever noticed how quickly comfort rituals can transform into obsessions when we're desperate to fill the emptiness left by someone's departure? As the family adjusts to their new reality, Uma begins dating George, a white former military man with striking blue eyes. She gushes about how special he is and how well he speaks Korean, better than you or Ji-hun. The reality proves disappointing. His Korean is terrible, he orders excessive food without consulting them, insists on no spice, despite Ji-hun's preferences, and openly ogles their waitress. Yet it's his pale, icy blue eyes that become the focal point of Ji-won's growing obsession. She dreams of consuming animal eyes in a claustrophobic room that expands with each consumption. The dream culminates with a single human eye, a blazing, luminous blue, exactly like George's, that she devours despite her revulsion. As George moves in temporarily, Ji-won's fixation intensifies. She presses her ear against the wall to listen to him breathing and has nightmares where she finds not her mother and George in bed, but a giant eyeball, wet, squelching, watching her every move. This obsession transforms into something more sinister when she overhears George revealing that her mother is merely his side piece, while his girlfriend Jen is angry about his trip to Thailand. Ji-won's mental state deteriorates rapidly. She begins having violent nightmares, sleepwalking, and experiencing debilitating migraines. Her academic performance plummets. She fails philosophy and earns poor marks in other courses, placing her scholarship at risk. The line between reality and fantasy blurs as her obsession with George's eyes transforms into something monstrous. She begins systematically sabotaging his life, stealing his money, hiding his keys behind the kimchi in the refrigerator, destroying his prized Rolex. When she follows George downtown and discovers his double life with another Asian woman, her determination to destroy him intensifies. She deletes his important work presentation and replaces it with pornographic images of young Asian women, causing him to lose his job. But the most disturbing aspect of Ji-won's descent is her growing compulsion to consume blue eyes. After a night of drinking, she discovers a homeless man with blue eyes who has died. In a trance-like state, she extracts and consumes his eyeball, experiencing its salty, jelly-like texture before vomiting everything up. This horrifying act is just the beginning of a series of violent episodes targeting blue-eyed victims, a literal consumption of the white gaze that has objectified her family. Is Ji-won's violence caused by her brain tumor or her inherent character? The tumor, possibly present her entire life, might explain her blue eyes obsession. After surgery, she feels nothing, no desire, no obsession toward George's eyes. Yet the novel avoids simplistic explanations. Ji-won's methodical planning, manipulation, and history of sabotaging relationships existed before her violent episodes. Her ability to hide evidence, create alibis, and frame Jeffrey demonstrates calculated thinking beyond tumor-induced impulses. Even post-surgery, she plots revenge against her father. The question of monstrosity extends to others too. Uma asks, "Am I a monster?" after discovering George's infidelity, while her admission of manipulating Ji-won's father into marriage reveals her own pattern of desperate deception. Perhaps the true monster isn't any individual, but the systems of oppression, abandonment, and cultural displacement shaping their experiences. The novel explores cultural identity through a Korean-American family's experiences. Oma's internalized racism appears in her preference for white men and discouraging her daughters from dating Korean men, a view shaped by her own marginalization. Jiwon's father represents the immigrant struggle, self-taught, academically successful, initially thriving in America before losing everything to a scam. His resentment toward their modest living conditions reflects the immigrant dream deferred. Korean food serves as a cultural touchstone throughout the narrative. Ama prepares elaborate feasts, homemade sashimi with gochujang sauce, fried salmon heads, garan mari, and doenjang jjigae. These meals connect them to their heritage, but become tension points when George dismisses or fetishizes their cultural practices. Language barriers further complicate their experiences. Jiwon remembers how her father's limited English diminished him in America, leaving him vulnerable to mockery and false accusations, planting a seed of rage within her that continues to grow. The novel explores how trauma transmits across generations. Uma's childhood abandonment during a harsh Korean winter created psychological scars that shape her adult relationships, particularly her tendency to cling to disrespectful men. This mirrors her childhood determination to survive alone, waiting for parents who might never return. Jiwon inherits this trauma, but processes it differently. While Uma becomes passive and dependent, Jiwon develops rage and a desire for control, noting she's growing stronger each day, though this strength manifests as violence rather than resilience. Jihin's suggestion that their family might be cursed points to this sense of inherited trauma. Her habit of anxiously rubbing her ankle scar when stressed serves as a physical manifestation of psychological wounds, similar to Uma's bleeding hands from obsessively making paper flowers. Beyond physical traits or financial assets, the novel suggests our most powerful inheritance may be the unresolved pain of those who came before us. The novel explores various forms of insatiable hunger, for belonging, power, understanding, and love. Jiwon's consumption of eyes metaphorically represents her attempt to fill the void left by her father's abandonment and cultural displacement. Uma's pursuit of George, despite his unsuitability, reflects her hunger for security and acceptance, while her elaborate, often unappreciated cooking symbolizes her attempts to nourish a fundamentally broken family. George's predatory behavior toward Asian women reveals his appetite for control and exotic consumption, his blue eyes representing a gaze that devours rather than truly sees. Even Jihyun expresses hunger through childhood food hoarding. The novel's final image, Jiwon planning to confront her father despite recent surgery, demonstrates how revenge becomes its own form of hunger that creates more emptiness with each act, requiring increasingly extreme measures to fill. The most terrifying realization is not that monsters exist, but that they are created through unmet hungers.